Sweet. Applause before I start. It's the first time that's happened. Let's hope that this doesn't break. How are you?
Good.
Good? Yeah, so as mentioned, my name is Christian, and I am the 2019 summer intern here at Covenant. And before I start, I just want to give a quick thank you for the past 3 months. It's weird that it's already August, and like that summer is almost done, and that school's coming. I won't mention that. But to be honest, these past few months they're beyond anything I could have expected. To be honest, before I started, it was weird thinking about moving to a town that was 5 hours away, and to be honest, I couldn't really even pronounce the name of the town. But I was mentioning to a friend thing that, like, you know what? I think I'm actually gonna miss this summer. I'm not sure about the place, but definitely the people. And I just want to thank you guys for making this such an amazing experience. Before we start, I just want to quickly pray again. So Jesus, I thank you again for this opportunity to be able to share your word with your people. I pray for any nerves that I have and any other intent that I have. I pray that you just speak through me and for me to allow you to do so. In your name I pray, amen. Quick question before we start. Who here is an early riser? You say you wake up. Oh, that's actually a good amount of people. Okay. Second question. Who here has tried to set a New Year's resolution? It could be tried to set. I won't say how many have succeeded. Quick confession. I suck at waking up early. I'm sorry I use the S word. I'm not supposed to. But I am awful. If I don't have an alarm or any agenda, I will easily sleep in till 10, 11, 11:30. I'll keep counting. But in the month of June, I was feeling super motivated. I had read a lot of facts and heard a lot of people talking about the benefits of waking up early. People waking up at 5 or whatever hours in order to be more productive and have more time in their day. And in the month of June, I decided for all 30 days I would wake up at 6:45. I know it's not super early, but I wanted to create something that was attainable. And my plan was I'd wake up at 6:45. I told everyone that I'd do it on social media. I'd put out a post with a certain time. That way, if I slept in, people could call me out. And to my surprise, it worked. Okay, so don't eat too early. So for the first 3 days, it was pretty bad. Like, you know, waking up whatever, how many hours before I'm used to waking up. But after that, it began to stick. And it came to the time when I was actually waking up moments before my alarm, feeling fully awake, and I'd wake up, turn off my alarm before it even go off. And it was amazing. I had all this time to, whether it be devoing or just extra time to pray or, to be honest, exercise and just not feel rushed in the morning. But not only that, it set a tone throughout the rest of the day for self-discipline. And it was so much easier to say no to eating out all the time or buying things online that I honestly don't need. And as June progressed, life got kind of busy. It started off, we had Wonder Jam, which was a day at Canada's Wonderland with all the youth. Don't get me wrong, it was really fun, but leaving the church at 7 and chasing a bunch of youth around the park all day, it was tiring. The weekend after that, we had our weekend in the woods, which was a youth camping overnighter. And again, it was fun, but staying up late, pitching tents, making sure all the kids weren't too rowdy, then waking up at 6:45, covered in bugs and basking in the aroma of smelly teenage boys, was not the best. And honestly, as June was coming to an end, I was ready to sleep. July 1st came, it was a holiday Monday. I was like, I'll take one day. It's holiday Monday. Won't set an alarm. I'll sleep in. And it was amazing. I won't tell you when I slept in until, but I'll just say, It blew my mind. After one day, it was so much easier to sleep in another day, the day after that. Before I knew it, my habit was out the door. And if I'm being honest, if June was about studying the benefits of discipline and diligence, July was about the benefits of laziness and relaxation. And we got to hear. Here's what I mean. So for the past couple of months, we've been going through wisdom literature in the Old Testament, and specifically over these past few weeks, the book of Proverbs. If you're new here, joining us at Covenant, welcome. We're glad that you're here. But again, it is important to recognize that Proverbs don't necessarily provide hard rules and realities, but rather wisdom that could be used to help us live our lives in a better way. Now, when reading through Proverbs, one proverb in specific stuck out to me. It's Proverbs 12:24, we'll have it up here, which says, "Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor." So coming out of July, you might be able to guess my level of conviction when reading this passage. Now, at face value, this proverb explores the presumable correlation between work ethic and work outcome. I kind of took it as a work hard and you will succeed kind of a message. But as opposed to studying the nature of career paths, employment satisfaction, and monetary gain this morning, I want to explore this passage through a different lens. Now, as I mentioned, I've been fascinated by habits. In June, I challenged myself with waking up early. This month, in order to try and regain control over laziness, I'm trying to plan out my days using schedules in order to beat tardiness and just be less distractible. And the main reason why I've been compelled to take on these challenges is that I found out that habits are what tend to guide the way that we live our lives. And it's not a bad thing. I mean, habits are what keep us from being overwhelmed by all the small decisions we make, whether it be what to eat for breakfast or the route that we take when we drive home, even how we tie our shoes. So here's my thought. If we reread this proverb through the lens of habit, a different narrative could be explained. Again, diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor. According to this passage, I'm led to believe that diligence is what dictates whether or not we rule or are ruled by our habits. Ultimately, if we aren't aware of this, our lives can easily switch to autopilot, following the routines that we've been doing for years, or the routines that others have been doing for years. The reality is that diligence dictates what we do. If we don't set our own habits, someone else will. It is pretty clear that habits are one of the most, if not important, things. But this morning, I'm not looking to teach you about the benefits of eating healthy or waking up early or cutting out caffeine, because again, I suck at those things. But I want to take a closer look as we explore spiritual habits. Now, if reality is that if we don't set our own habits, someone else will, then there's two types of spiritual habits, ones that we set and ones that others set. Let's take a look at the first one, habits that we set. Now, if you're like me, amongst the hustle and bustle of daily life, building a routine such as regular Sabbath or daily meditation can be really, really hard. I mean, in an attempt to create rhythms that draw us closer to God, it seems that we rebel more and more against the reality of society around us. I mean, in and of itself is impossible. So I want to take a moment and study someone who builds a habit that goes against the grain of the world around them. Now, in the Old Testament, we hear the story of a young man named Daniel, alongside his pals, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, these four men are chosen to serve the king of Babylon. And as we read, we learn that they are expected to eat the food and drink the wine of Babylonians. However, this would defile their Jewish law, is what is written on what could or couldn't be consumed. So instead, they decide to opt on a diet consisting of vegetables and water. Now, the chief eunuch who is overseeing them is hesitant at first because he doesn't want these men to be disadvantaged to the other servants. But eventually, the gang are given a go-ahead and have a 10-day trial on their diet. And to their surprise, they actually become better in appearance than the other servants. Now, this passage is interesting, not so much that the Bible is promoting veganism, but more so in the way that God actually blesses these four men. We read that God grants Daniel favor and compassion in the eyes of his overseer, and that God increases the four's physical appearance in just 10 days. Later, we see that God grants these men skills in literature and wisdom, 10 times better than anyone else in the kingdom. Also, God grants Daniel the gift of being able to decipher and understand dreams, which is pretty cool. Now, the story reminds us of another proverb, which is Proverbs 16, verse 3. We are told, "Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established." In all that we do, and especially when building habits, it is vital that we commit our persistence, perseverance, and effort to God. It should be noted in this story that Daniel doesn't attempt to abstain from eating these foods or drinking the king's wine for mundane reasons. Instead, he does so that he might remain diligent, and in his commitment to obedience, he is blessed. Ultimately, creating spiritual habits is not impossible. But without diligence to go against the grain and to commit to God, these routines actually become pointless. I echo the words of Dustin Kensrue, who writes in the song, "All Glory Be to Christ," "Should nothing of our efforts stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does build the house, in vain its builders strive." Again, diligence dictates what we do. If we don't set our own habits, someone else will. Now let's take a look at the second type of spiritual habits, which are spiritual habits that we learn from others. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that I tend to imitate people. And not like in a mean, mocking way, but like, as an example, last summer I worked at a church back in my hometown of Brockville. And the associate pastor that I worked under, he used this phrase, "super good," a lot. Whether it be describing like a food as being like super good or a new song as being super good, I found that this phrase I quickly coined into my own vocabulary. And I didn't realize that I was saying it until my mom was like pointed out how much I was bugging her, because super good is not grammatically correct. As far as habits I've learned this summer from hanging out with Pastor John, I just feel like super smart and like my vocabulary's up here. Also, I really just want to like stroke a beard, but I'm just kidding. I can't grow a beard. But I mean, as the saying goes, monkey see, monkey do, right? Now, the same goes for spiritual habits. Often we could pick up the routines of those around us. I mean, take prayer, for instance. We fold our hands, we close our eyes, we bow our heads, and at the end of prayer, even when we aren't the ones praying, we say amen. And don't get me wrong, in this example, these habits are not bad habits. Our physical posture in prayer actually helps us to concentrate and focus in on our time spent with God. And by saying amen, we use our voice to echo and acknowledge what was spoken prior. But a couple years ago, I'd found myself sitting at a cafeteria table pondering a question, which is, why do people pray before their meals? Now, I am really fortunate. I grew up in a Christian household where we treasured a lot of traditions. One of them was saying grace before meals. But of all the 17 years of living at home, I couldn't recall a single time that praying before my meal actually made the food taste any better, the chicken any less dry, or eating broccoli any easier. You see, I was coming at it with the wrong lens and ultimately using the wrong metrics. And at the time, as a first-year university student who had just started taking their faith seriously, I honestly couldn't find any justification to the necessity of prayer before eating a meal, especially in Scripture. But instead, I found examples. Like in Acts chapter 2, we learn about the early followers of Christ who would actually gather around meals and lift up times of thanksgiving and praise to God through a posture of gladness and generosity. All of a sudden, that simple action, that habit of praying before meals, became exponentially more important. For me, it became less of a "we have to pray" to "I get an opportunity to express my gladness for all that I have," which is pretty amazing. And this goes for a lot of other spiritual habits. I mean, spiritual habits that we learn are not necessarily bad things. In the case of prayers of grace, this one is a practice that we learn about from the early followers of Jesus. But without understanding the reason behind these routines, these seemingly trivial actions become, well, trivial. But as we take time to verify, explore, and evaluate the roots of spiritual habits. Not only can we find the reason and the meaning behind routines, but also an elevated importance on some of these ancient practices. In Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Diligence dictates what we do. If we don't set our own habits, someone else will. And sometimes the habits of others are actually what we should be doing. If our goal is to live, love, and walk the earth as Jesus did, sometimes diligence is not about the habits that we choose to rigorously follow and make, but the unhealthy habits that we need to evaluate and break. In the book, God in My Everything, author Ken Shigematsu discusses the importance of having a rule of life, which are habits that help us to experience God all around us. And when discussing implementing these habits, Pastor Shigematsu says this. He says that pruning strips us of what is non-essential to the power of God's life rising within us. But it also gathers and focuses energies previously dispersed in draining distractions or even apparently worthy commitments. This pruning experience can be difficult and at times painful. When we say no to something, we will naturally feel a sense of loss and sadness. However, if the pruning is in line with God's good intention for us, even in the midst of grief, we'll experience a deeper sense of peace and well-being. Chances are, if you're here this morning at church on a Sunday morning, you most likely have formed a spiritual habit. And again, spiritual habits can be great. They're the rhythmic practices that can draw us closer to our own Creator and in relationship with Him. But as some of you know, the tension of spiritual diligence and spiritual laziness is a war that rages. It is a fight between choosing to nourish ourselves with things that bring life or to settle on worldly junk, yet even choose starvation. Sometimes, the line between spiritual habits and regular habits becomes blurred. Things that we thought give us life could actually be routines that distract us from worshiping our Creator. And as you go about your week, I encourage you to lean in and start evaluating and recognizing some of the habits that you live out. You might notice that you say super good or something all the time, or you might regularly pray at certain times. Whatever it may be, don't be afraid to ask the hard question as to how this habit contributes to your relationship with God. You may find that some routines are getting in the way of you getting to know your Creator, and some of them actually need to be implemented more and have great potential. Whatever it is, remember that diligence dictates what we do. And if we don't set our own habits, someone else will. I'm going to invite up the worship team, and I'll pray as we close. Jesus, I thank you again for this time we could have together and to be able to spend in a community this morning. I pray again for all those who are joining us, for you just to be continuing to move in their lives. And as we begin to evaluate and establish and begin to go about these new practices that you are forming, I pray that we remember to commit our work to you and to have an intent of pleasing and glorifying you. In your name I pray. Amen.